May I just read another scripture before I begin my message? And it's taken from James chapter 3. Listen to these words for a moment, then I'll get into my message. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, his deeds, done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitterness, envy, and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it's earthly. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and even evil practices. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace, raise a harvest of righteousness. And so if you tie that into what was just read, God's talking about wisdom. Now, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever made an unwise choice in your life? Not yet today, Bob says. So far, he's good. Have you ever made a decision that was just a foolish, unwise decision? You may have thought it was a good one at the time, but later you found out it was probably the worst decision you could have made. We've all been there, done that, and got the T-shirt. Before my wife and I left for our vacation, we appreciate just being away for a while. But like I tell everybody, I'm so happy to be back home because I'm in my bed and I'm home. And, you know, I could only take it for so long. Endless vacations don't work with me. But before we left, I had preached on James chapter 2. And then I wanted to pick up on 3. But as I was reading James chapter 3, the opening part of James chapter 3, which I didn't read, was talking about the tongue and how we could use the tongue for good or evil. We could use it to build somebody up, or we could use the tongue to break somebody down. And I had preached a number of messages like that over the past couple of years. So I bypassed that, and I decided to pick up on verse 13 because I think if the world ever needed to hear a message on wisdom, it's today. Being wise. Doing things wisely. And that's what James is talking about. Now, the Message translation, which I like because it's contemporary English and it kind of takes the these and the thous out of it and makes it less confusing. What he says, and I'll try to advance this, I guess I have to turn it on first. He basically says, if I summarize, you are blessed when you find wisdom and gain understanding. It's a great blessing when you're a wise person. It's worth more than money in the bank. It's better than making a ton of money on your job. And nothing holds a candle to wisdom. According to this, God sees wisdom as being very important. So I'd like to speak on that this morning. Solomon, who was David's son and took over the kingship from his father, was asked by God, you could have anything you want, sort of like a genie. What do you want? He could have asked for prestige. He could ask for great finances, gold. He could have asked for a number of things. Now, what would you ask for if God gave you that choice this morning? Don't answer. I bet you it wouldn't be that. But Solomon says, out of anything in the world, God, I want wisdom. I want to be a wise king. When I make decisions in this kingdom, I want to be able to act wisely. Now, as a result of wisdom, other things came, such as prestige and power and those other things. And so, as you read the text this morning, when it talks about wisdom, there's two kinds of wisdom. There's godly wisdom and there's earthly wisdom. And I'd like to talk about both of them in a moment. So I looked up Webster's Dictionary, And Webster's Dictionary defines wisdom as a quality of having experience and knowledge. We all have experience and knowledge in life, right? Whether it's through our jobs or through life experience or things in raising children, grandchildren, through marriage, through relationships, through running a business. We all have experience. And through that experience, we gain knowledge. And hopefully, out of that experience and knowledge comes good judgment, the quality of being wise. Based on all of my experiences, I want to make right decisions in my life. The fact of being based on a sensible or wise thinking. In a biblical sense, this is what wisdom means. The ability to judge correctly and to follow the best course of action based on knowledge and understanding. It kind of ties into Webster's definition. To judge correctly. Now, you might remember before I left for vacation, I talked about being judgmental. We shouldn't be judgmental. We shouldn't judge others. And I spoke about that. But this is a different kind of judgment. This is good judgment. Not judging others, not judging people, but judging and lining up and evaluating and praying over a given situation before we act and before we speak. For instance, there is a wisdom in understanding the consequences of our actions before we speak and before we act. So many people mess up. There's a great preacher named James McDonald. I watch him all the time on TV. Has the largest church in Chicago. I was so dismayed as we were sitting in the airport in Orlando last night to find out he had to step down from his ministry of decades of faithful service because of an indiscretion. Made that one poor judgment, that one poor choice, that one poor unwise decision. And it cost him his ministry. Decades of dedicated service in the blink of an eye. It was taken away from him. I was saddened by that. So wisdom is understanding the consequences of our behavior before we act and before we speak. So we need to ask ourselves a question this morning based on the text. Are we living a life of worldly wisdom, or are we living a life of godly wisdom? You see, worldly wisdom is following the popular opinion of the day. Whatever's popular, whatever the world sees as acceptable and fine, we go along with the flow. And there's been a lot of good changes in the world, don't get me wrong. I'm not bashing the world. I'm not bashing what's going on in society. There's good, there's bad, like in anything else. But when we live our lives just according to the flesh, just according to worldly understanding and principles, just the way the world thinks, versus godly wisdom, following the tenets and principles contained in the covenantal word of God. How does it line up? What I'm about to do, this choice I'm going to make, this decision I'm going to make, does it line up with the will of God? And there's a difference. Oftentimes, but not always, there is a marked difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't live in the world. I'm not suggesting after this service, you all sell your homes, move out of your houses and apartments, and we're going to go live on top of a mountain somewhere until Jesus comes back. We're in the world. But the Bible says we're in the world, it refers or makes inference, but we're not of the world. We're in it. We have to function in this world. I get that more than anybody else, maybe. We still have to interact in society through business, through interactions, through purchasing, through interrelationships with people. We're in the world, but we're not of this world. It means we're guided by a different set of guidelines or principles or playbook. We're in the world, but we don't function, perhaps, as the world functions. James is saying we should live differently. Perhaps there's a practice on your job. And let me just say this. It may not be ethical, but it's a common practice in the industry. Everybody does it. You hear that all the time. But everybody does it. And we have a choice to make. Are we going to do what everybody else does, or are we going to choose to do what God wants us to do? What do we do in that instance? Do we follow the wisdom and the mandates of God, or do we go along with the program and violate all of the principles that God has set before us in making choices and judgment on behavior? I want to give you an example. I have a friend. He worked for an international company. Strong Christian believer. His higher-ups, his superiors, occasionally wanted to do something in his industry that was a common practice and acceptable, but he wouldn't do it. He says it's unethical. It's just not right. It's not being forthright. It's not being honest to the customer base. I can't do it. So he caught a lot of flack because of standing up for what was right with God. You know what happened? This is a true story. His wife was here 3 weeks ago. An international person bought the business. It's a huge business, worldwide, international. She bought the business, became the new CEO of the company. She recognized his integrity, and she made him the president of the company. He got promoted for his integrity. He got promoted for making wise decisions and judgments and behavior based on what he knew was going to please God and not his superiors. And as a result of it, even though he was catching all this flack while he was working for those old bosses, when the new boss came in, she recognized his integrity. She said, I'm not always going to be here in the States to run this operation. She said, I'm putting you in charge. You're the new president. And the guy who gave him all the flack, he was unemployed. That's a true story. We take great chances when we step out in faith and we try to please God and not the world. We take great chances. I know it's difficult to do. I get that. We've all been there. To actually say, you know what? This is not going to be popular. This is not going to be received well. This is not going to be accepted here. But you know what? I'm going to do this to please God and not man or woman. And that's what my buddy did, and he was promoted for it. Godly wisdom is demonstrated in our lives when we seek to follow the will and purpose of God. When we live according to His commands and His precepts. When we allow the Holy Spirit to guide our decisions. Let me share something with you, friends, and it works every time. God will honor it. I'm a firm believer that if you honor God, God will honor you. That's the way it works. You honor God in your life, my life, our decisions, our behavior, the things that we do, the things that we say. If we honor Him, He will honor us. But as we go through life, we discover that we're not always wise in the choices we make, right? Bob, you've not made a bad choice today so far. You know what, friends? Listen. I was talking to Kathy in the back, and I said, good sermon. She said, no, that sermon was for me. And I want to tell you this, every sermon I've ever preached over the past 3 decades was for me. This sermon's for me. I can never stand up here and say to you, I got this whole thing together. And all you sinners need to get your act together. Doesn't work that way. I'm embarrassed by the number of poor choices I've made in my life. I'm embarrassed by it. And I could go through a litany of them here, and it probably would intrigue you quite a bit. And I'm not going to do it. But I'm embarrassed by some of the choices I've made in my life. Maybe we simply thought we were doing the right thing when we did it. We just thought it was the best choice. And so we stepped out and we did it. Maybe we acted on impulse. Do we have any impulsive people here this morning? There's a couple of us. Go for it. My wife is a methodical thinker. I always tell her, the bus left. She figures everything. My wife should have been an engineer. She figures that. Me, I'm jumping in front of the bus. And let me tell you, impulsive behavior, sometimes you win and sometimes you don't. But sometimes I've made decisions just on like impulse buying. Oh, I like that. I'm going to buy. Can't afford it, but I'm going to buy it. Impulsiveness. Maybe you listened to a person that you trusted in your life and you felt they were giving you the right direction, the right guidance, the right information. You listened to this person. You made the decision and it was the wrong decision. I'm sure we've all done that, and I'm sure we've all got the T-shirt. However, the Bible is jam-packed with wisdom, and we should allow those words to guide our lives. Now listen, you're not going to know the guidelines unless you break open the Bible and read it. Start with Proverbs, the Psalms. It's loaded with wisdom. But if we don't know the rules and we don't know the guidelines, then how are we guided? There are also times through prayer where you're praying and God gives you that peace which passes all understanding and you just know this decision is right. Or maybe you're praying and you're uneasy about it and you're saying, you know what, I don't think this is right. I know this promotion looks good, but I don't feel like God wants me to take this job. And we go ahead and we take the job anyway and find out it leads us to a bad place because we went against what the Holy Spirit was speaking to us in prayer. Sometimes it's a godly Christian, a fellow believer in the church, who gives us a good piece of advice, godly counsel. And they help walk us through our situation. And we make the right decision because we get into the counsel of many instead of just making decisions on our own. Wisdom. I could tell you one thing. We are treading on thin ice when our choices are in conflict with the Holy Scriptures. That's a fact. Now, I know some people say to me, oh, but Pastor, you know, it's an antiquated text. It's an ancient text. It was good 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years ago. But come on, it's 2019. Okay. Make your choices based on 2019. I don't believe in luck, but I'm going to say to you, good luck. The Bible's full of wisdom. The Bible is full of good, solid guidelines for us. And let us not forget the teachings of Jesus. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 31, he says, now someone greater than Solomon. Now remember, Solomon was the wisest man on earth. Someone greater than Solomon is here, but you refuse him. And you know who Jesus was talking about? Himself. Someone who has more wisdom than Solomon is right before you, and you reject him. Jesus was rejected. And how many people today reject Jesus? Look at the tons of wisdom discovered in the Sermon on the Mount. Friends, if you want to do yourself a favor today, tomorrow, this week, go home and read Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. It's loaded with wisdom. Just start there. And he gives us guidelines on how to live our lives. Now, when we stand for what we believe, we may not always be the most popular person in the workplace, in our family, in the community, or anywhere else. We just may not be popular. And that was so true with my friend, who is a very unpopular guy in his company. And yet he got elevated and promoted to the presidency of that very company. Incredible. And so Jesus tells the disciples, if you look up on the screen, he basically says, when persecution begins to grow, like my friend experienced on his job, he was persecuted by his superiors. I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you. So what we got to do is when we're getting this pushback and this persecution because of what we believe, you need to say, Lord, give me the words or take away the words that I'm about to speak, but give me the wisdom on how to handle this situation. See, my buddy never lost his cool, never lost his witness, never went after anybody, never argued, stayed humble, and he got promoted for it. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. I'm using the Message translation again. Listen to what he says. We, of course, have plenty of wisdom to pass on to you. Stop there for a moment. Paul is saying, I got plenty of wisdom to give you, But there's a caveat once you get your feet on firm spiritual ground. You see, if we're going to just be drinking milk and we're never going to get into the meat of the gospel, of the message, of the Bible, he's saying, I could give you great wisdom, but until you get your feet on spiritual ground, there's nothing I could do for you. You know, we got a Marine back there, Steve. He went through basic. He's glad he's out of basic, too, I'll tell you that. But they instilled in that young man everything you need to know to be a warrior. You see, when he first went there to boot camp, he didn't know anything. Now, he may have thought he knew something. He knew nothing. He knew nothing until he met his new mother, the drill sergeant. And that drill sergeant instilled in him everything he needed to know to be a Marine. See that? Or a first sergeant in the Army. But the bottom line is, his feet were shaky until he understood what it meant to follow orders, to know his commands, to know the rules of engagement, how to fire a weapon, all those things, tactics, self-defense. So when the crucible came and he got his anchor and globe, he was on solid ground. Now, I use that equation simply because I saw Steve sitting back there, is because Paul is saying, I'm not going to read all that scripture up there. He's basically saying, you know what? I got tons of wisdom to give you, but until you go through basic training, the basics of Christianity, you're not going to get it. Just like Steve didn't get it the first day he stepped off the bus at Paris Island. But when he left Paris Island, he sure as heck knew what he was standing on. Solid feet, a Marine. So Paul's warning us, come on, guys, get into the Word. Months ago, I preached on various trends and fads, how they come and go. And Paul is saying, God's wisdom is not a trend or a fad. It's not something that's here today and 6 months from now. It's, you know, it doesn't apply. You know, oh, okay, it's 2019. I guess I could throw this away. His wisdom stands forever. The Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. I don't care how much the world changes. I don't care what messages you're hearing about secularism and how things are right. How does it line up with Scripture? Now back to James, the author of our text this morning. He incorporates, I love this about James, he incorporates wisdom with practice. Not just that we have head knowledge, but that we have heart knowledge. You see, it's not enough to just know the Bible. I knew somebody, and I'm not judging him. He was a member of my church, not this church, many churches ago, so don't even think about Sayville or Belmore. But I never met a man who knew the Bible more than this guy. He could quote it, Genesis to Revelation. But I have to tell you, his behavior and the way he treated other people did not match up with his knowledge. And so I wondered, did it ever go the 18 inches from his head to his heart? And that's what James is saying. He's saying you need to incorporate God's wisdom with practice, with the way we behave, the way we act, the way we live our lives. He talks about applying spiritual disciplines to our daily lives, not just in church on Sunday, but when nobody's looking. When we're out there and church people aren't around. How we live in our lives. He tells us, if you want to be considered wise, he says, build a reputation of wisdom. Build a reputation of wisdom. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live. It's not the words that you speak. It's not your talk. It's your walk. That's what James is saying. Now listen, guys, I'm not beating you up today. I'm encouraging you. That's my job as a pastor, is to be a teacher, a preacher, a pastoral person. Somebody's going to challenge us. I don't want to just get up here and give you a bunch of fluff and you leave here feeling good. And then when those choices have to be made at work tomorrow, You're not thinking about what James is encouraging us to do. He says it's the way you live. It's not the way you talk. In other words, wisdom is revealed through our actions, not our words. So wisdom is revealed in a life that's totally surrendered to God. Listen, the best thing you could do is say, I surrender all today, Lord. I surrender my life, my mind. I surrender my finances. I surrender my family. I surrender my job. I surrender my material possessions. I surrender everything to you today, Lord. Everything. It's more than saying we're a Christian. It's not enough. It's not enough just to say we're a Christian. It's about living a life that reveals to the world that we are actually disciples of His. And so in verse 17, he says, wisdom is revealed when you're a peace-loving person, when you're gentle at all times, when you're willing to yield to others, when it's full of mercy and good fruit and good deeds in our lives, when it shows no favoritism and it's always sincere. James is describing what godly wisdom really looks like. And he's asking for each of us to examine ourselves this morning, personally, to determine whether or not these traits live within us. Being peaceful, by the way, listen, I have shared this far too many times in my ministry than I remember. Being peaceful, loving, and kind doesn't mean you're supposed to be a doormat to anybody. Okay? No one should be able to take advantage of you. Doesn't mean you're a pushover. You think Paul was a pushover? You think Peter was a pushover? You think Jesus was a pushover? You remember he turned over tables? These guys were not pushovers. It means we're self-controlled. It means we're patient. It means that we're willing to yield at times and not always have our way. We'll listen to all sides before we make a decision, willing not to do what's popular in the society we live in today, but to do what's right in the eyes of God. That's where the church is going wrong, folks. There's a big debate going on about how we're supposed to be a church. I always say, how does it line up with this? How does it line up with this? I don't want to hear what some bishop has to tell me. I really don't. And I'm not being disrespectful to our bishop. I'm just saying what he says doesn't mean a hill of beans to me. And I don't care whether he hears it or not. It's what the Bible says. It's what my Lord and Savior says, Jesus Christ. Willing to take a stand. Willing to have a teachable spirit. Willing to be forgiving and genuine. It means what you see is what you get. It means who I am is who I am when nobody else is looking but the Lord. Wow. To live guided by the godly wisdom means to demonstrate traits like this daily in our lives. It's our speech. It's our conduct. And James ends by saying, if we live such a life, we will reap a harvest. You know why? When people see we're for real and we're not just Sunday morning Christians, but we live it Monday through Sunday, every day of our lives, that doesn't mean we're not going to mess up. I mess up every day. You don't believe me? Ask my wife. She's sitting right there. But it means what they see in us is so real, they say, this guy's for real. This gal's for real. I got a problem. Maybe on lunch break, I'm going to talk to her. I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to get some advice. I need some help. I'm not going to go to the clutch over here that hangs around the cooler or the coffee machine and they gossip. No, I'm going to go see Trudy. I'm going to ask her what she thinks. I know she's a believer. I'm going to hear what she has to say. And so, are we seeking godly wisdom in our daily lives? That's what James is asking us this morning. And I end with one more scripture. It's from the Psalm, Psalm number 1. First three verses of the Psalms. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the ways of the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on the law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. You see what that says? When we're in the Word, we're like a tree whose roots are planted by a stream of living water. And you know any tree that's by living water and not a desert place, because when you don't get into the Word and prayer and so forth, and you don't follow good spiritual disciplines, you're in a very dry place. But it says when our roots are in the streams of water, we're going to bear fruit and our leaves will not wither. And when people see that fruit, they're going to ask us, how do you live such a way? You know, Maritz is not here today. She lost her son. That's a tough loss. But yet she loves the Lord. And I saw her faith in action. Now listen, when you get a loss like that, man, you want to crawl under a rock and never come out again. I pray to God none of us ever experienced that. But through it all, she still trusted in Jesus. She still trusted in the Lord. Her fruit was real. And it bore witness to her family and to all the folks around her. May God help us to seek to live such a life as that.